Lord, we praise you for this meeting. We thank you for this wonderful service that you've shown to us. We praise you that you called us to serve you in the priestly way. We thank you that you prepare us through your word for your return. Bless our ears tonight and our heart, and let us see you in you. Thank you, Lord. I'm very thankful to the Lord for his rich speaking this morning. It was good to see this whole timetable of the statue. And when you see the last 10 toes, that doesn't sound so great. But how much nicer when the stone comes and makes everything dust. All the terrible kingdoms are destroyed and the kingdom of peace comes. Aren't you looking forward to that? And I thought, it's so good when this stone comes and fills this whole earth. Are we ready for that? That's the time where the Lord makes us to... He has made us then kings and priests. That's why it's so precious to prepare now. And tonight, it's about point two. Is God's unchangeable goal with his people, his plan, and he will accomplish it. That's in the outline, point two. He showed in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant, he wants to have a kingdom of priests. Let us read these first few verses in Exodus 19, 4-6. Exodus 19, 5-6. He wants to. Maybe we can read it in the Schlachter translation. Let's read 5-6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. You shall be my special people, my special treasure to me above all people. In English it says my personal treasure, special treasure. It's like my God has a personal treasure. Do you have a treasure? It's something that's precious. For he says, all the earth is mine. Everything belongs to him. But there's something that's special. What's his treasure that's precious to him? It's expensive and worthy. And God has something on this earth. Everything belongs to him, but something is very precious. And when I read that, all the earth belongs to him, I had to think of the parable in Matthew 13, That's where someone has a field and finds a treasure in the field. It's a really precious treasure. And he hides it. And he sells everything he has and buys this field. Because there's something precious in there. But the people don't see this treasure. It's hidden. It's an image of Christ who wants to have this royal priesthood. You are this personal. Yeah, you are a special treasure to me. The pearl is like a bride, and this treasure is his kingdom of priests. These are the things that are important to his heart. His bride and his kingdom. And the Lord Jesus gave everything for that. To gain this. To gain this treasure. And even us, what do we see in this? It's a special treasure. Some people say, why do you give everything for a field? Why do you give yourself for this field? Why do you move from Berchtesgaden, such a nice town, into such an ugly city? Some saints gave up their house and they sold their house and now they're renting a place here. Why would you do that? How can you sell everything and just buy a field? There is a treasure in there. We can see our Lord. The Lord is such a treasure for us that we give up everything. For the Lord, we are such a treasure. This kingly priesthood is something he gives everything for. And we have to see this value every time. We are not so special. We are earthen vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. It's Christ in us who's transforming us and renews our soul. That's what makes it so precious. And that is what the Lord is looking for. That is what he wants. And you can see in the whole scripture, it all goes together. In the scripture, it says many things. But some things are important. Not everything is important the same way. Elim is nice with the palms. There's Bethel, the house of God. But when the Bible talks about Zion and Jerusalem, that's where God's house is, where his heart is. And he says, he who touches this, he touches the apple of my eye. If someone touches your eye, do you? You don't touch someone's eye. I'm zealous for Zion with great zeal. It says, Zion goes together. Why is Zion so important? That's why where the house of God is, and in the temple they keep the feast, there is the worship. And that's where it's about us people. In the temple there are priests. Without the priests, nothing works. In 1 Peter, we read many times in the last few years. We're being built up as living stones, as a spiritual house. The last 100 years, the Lord put his finger on this. Yeah, and he wants to have a house. He wants to have a holy church, brothers, elders that are needed for the house of God. And it's not just about the house, but they are built up as a holy priesthood to bring spiritual offerings that are pleasing to God. When you build the house, in this temple you need the priests. It's like in Stuttgart, you go to a 3-star restaurant. Yeah, it's your business, but there's no cook in that restaurant. What are you going to do? Without the priest, there's no testimony in the house of God. That's why it's so important. And right after this verse in 1 Peter 2 about the holy priesthood, he talks about he puts in Zion a precious stone, a chief cornerstone, elect precious. And he who believes on him, yeah, he is this treasure. He is the high priest who brings us into this reality. It's good to see God's heart burns for this priesthood. He wants to gain his personal treasure. It's the center of the scriptures. When you read the Psalms, the heart of the Psalms is Psalm 110. It's the one that's most quoted in the New Testament, where David talks about his Lord and said, "The Lord spoke to my Lord, yeah, sit at my right hand and put your scepter out of Zion. He reigns over all his enemies from Zion." And he gains a people full of willingness in the in holiness. It's like that's what the priests need. And he swore to God, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." That's Psalm 110. That's where you have a Zion, the kingdom, and the priesthood. It's this eternal priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. Lord Jesus, show this to us. It's good that we can show this to our brothers and sisters. If God gets what he wants, then the enemy will want to stop it. But the Lord wants to gain it through us, and he shows it. We had the verses in the beginning in Revelation 1. He shows the goal, the beginning and the goal in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5. He, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. All Christians know, I'll draw it here, that the Lord with his blood cleansed us. That's the beginning. That's with the blood. He redeemed us. He saved us. But how does it continue? It doesn't stop here. the goal What is the goal? He saved us that we believe in Him, that we can be children of God and heirs, that we can be part of the body of Christ, that we can be His church. That's all true and that are in the middle there. But the Lord, yeah, He wants us to be heirs. But why did He save us? He wants us to be a royal priesthood. He wants us to be kings and priests. Can someone read verse 6 again? And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's very good to see. We all have a beginning, and we didn't do anything for it. He saved us. He found us. It's not like we found Him. But He wants us to work with Him to come to this goal. The goal of your Christian life is to be a king, a priest. That's such a high calling. We've heard it so many times, and we have to see it anew and say thank you for such a high calling. Thank you. You want us to be kings and priests. There's so many professions or so many works you can do to gain Christ. It's not so important what works do you have. But your main task is to serve God as a priest. And that's where you can be so glad. If you're proud for your physical work, like in this world, but it's such a great task to be a king and a priest. Do not underestimate what the Lord is giving you, that you gain Him, that you gain His holiness. God shows in many things on how maybe you can show it. Sometimes you need special dress code for safety. I don't need special work clothes, but the brothers that are some brothers, if your employer gives you special clothing, that's a special thing. That's very special clothing here. There's a lot of appreciation of what the employer gives you here. This special dress code is very precious. It has a turban with a holy, it says holy to the Lord. And there's a lot of pure gold on these chains and fine linen and onyx stones with all the tribes written on it. That's the priestly garment. It's a decoration. It's full of gold. It's even today, you couldn't do it anymore because it's such craftsmanship. It's woven. It's blue and purple and gold woven into it. And then it has this breastplate with the 12 precious stones. What does it remind you? It's a square with 12 stones, precious stones. That's the goal of God's plan, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a square with precious stones. That's what he has on his heart. That's the Lord Jesus that serves like this. Every precious stone that they make it to the goal. That's the priestly garment that you have on your heart, that they can be sanctified up unto the new Jerusalem. God gives such a precious garment because he enjoys that he appreciates that the priest serves him. The people in the Old Testament served God, and that is such a treasure. He shows this. Yeah, holy garment that's full of the reality of Christ. When you have this prayer, Lord, I put off the old man and I put on Christ, the new man. Let us think about, we put on Christ as our priestly garment. We have the saints on our heart. And we come to the high priest and ask him, you are our priest, high priest. Show us into all reality. There are many colors. You have blue. The blue is heavenly. Purple is the kingly color. Our Lord is priest and king. That's why it's a kingly priesthood. That's why you can see in the whole scripture the kingship and the priesthood is with people is separated, but the Lord brings it together. He's the true Moses and he's the true Aaron. And in Zechariah, you can see the crown is coming up on Joshua's head, which was the priest, that he is both. We need the priesthood to become kings unto God. Otherwise, we're some worldly kings, like the ruling ones today. It's going to be corrupt without the holy priesthood. God is the king, and the people rejected him and did not listen to him. And in Samuel, they got a king, which was Saul. And Saul had a good start. He is for God. He unifies the people. He has been anointed. But he doesn't have the priesthood. He doesn't have fear of God anymore. He doesn't look upon God. There's no more holiness, and he cannot see God. He looks upon the people. He wants to be the king. He does not listen to the voice anymore of the Lord, and he does his own things. And that's why Samuel says to Saul, because you did not listen to the voice of the Lord, you should not be king anymore. Because obedience is so important. It's through the fear of the Lord and holiness. And it's a precondition to hear the voice of the Lord. Or Saul had another chance and he didn't use it. And his end was horrible. Especially how he dealt with the priesthood. He killed the priests. And no one dared to, the Israelite soldiers didn't want to kill the priest, and so he got an Edomite to kill the priest. I've seen that in spiritual way. That's where you bring worldly people to kill the priest. Saul didn't learn to listen to the Lord. And in the end, he asked something else. He went to the someone who speaks to the dead. And in the end, he is completely dead, spiritually dead, and then physically dead. It's good to learn from this. It's interesting from David, who had such a heart for the Lord. One priest who flew, he took the ephod and when David when David was in Keilah, he called Abiathar and asked the Lord, what does the Lord want? He asked with the ephod, with the Urim and Tumim. He always brought the ephod with him. And when they beat the city, and he asked Abiathar again, let us ask the Lord, bring the ephod. And he had this, he knew how to ask the Lord as a priest. He knew how to deal with the Lord in holiness. And that was really helpful for him. We have to be careful how we do the things in God's house. Saul, in the end, he killed the priest. In the beginning, he brought on God's purpose, but then in the end, he was against it. Even David, who had such a heart for God, and then he comes back, and he looks for the Ark of the Covenant. He has such a good idea. Let's bring this ark into my city. And he bought a good cart. Yeah, he probably brought the best cart to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. But you cannot bring the Ark of the Covenant on a cart of ox. Many of you know the story, and it was Uzzah wanted to hold it when it was moving, and he died right away. What did he do? He wanted to do something good. David was fuming because out of anger. In the other part, it says he was terrified because of the terror of the Lord, because he died, and he gained such a respect and fear of God. Yeah, he had such a fear, and he stopped taking, doing it.
Und das ist sehr gut.
That's very good.
Furcht,
to have fear of the holy things of God.
Furcht Gottes ist der Anfang
der Weisheit. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
In Hebräer, gell,
in Hebrews it says
dass Gott uns züchtigt und Dinge tut,
that God chastens us for our good. Hebrews 12 says that they chastened us how they felt it right. But this one, Hebrews 12:10, the Lord chastens us for our He chastened us that we may be partakers of His holiness. It's for our profit. In verse 14 it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. It's so good to see the Lord. David got more problems then. I'm not sure if it was in Samuel or in Chronicles, that after he was so terrified, the Philistines start coming up and attacking. But then he realized, he learned, when true problems come, he has to ask the Lord in his priestly way. And he tells them, the Lord tells them, do it this way. And the second time when they come, he says, this time don't go directly, but go from the back and wait until me. The Lord gives him clear, clear signs. The problems in our daily life is that we seek for the Lord and ask Him and see Him as the high priest and ask Him, Lord, what's with this thing? How can we solve it? Especially if it's about God's house and His testimony. And after all this experience, he realized what he did wrong, and he searches the scriptures, and he sees the priests have to carry the ark. The testimony of the Lord can only be carried by the priests. And he's, Moses writes that it's golden carrying sticks. Yeah, after we do things without asking God, and that's pretty dangerous. That's a problem even today among us. We do so many things for God, but we cannot see Him because we're not holy. In Stuttgart, there's so many big groups, but how many pursue holiness? Without, we cannot see God. When Isaiah saw Him, he says, woe me, I'm an unclean man, and I live among a people with unclean lips. We want to see God and see what He's doing and be holy. It's not an ask of the Lord, but it's an order. You shall be holy, for I am holy. But this command, if you follow us, there's going to be life and peace. Then it becomes his special treasure, his property.
David,
And David brings this Ark of the Covenant, and it's interesting. And he brings the priests, and he brings sacrifices. Just every few steps, there's another offering. And he puts on a linen ephod, and he is a true priestly king. And he honors God and dances before the Ark of the Covenant. And God was for sure happy and gives his blessing. But there's always someone against it. The natural man is against the priesthood. The natural man says, don't overdo it. You don't need that. Yeah, even Michal, his wife, when she saw how he was in the priestly garment and was dancing, she said, what are you doing? She had to tell David, that's not a good thing he did. You humbled yourself, but David said, I'm nothing. God is everything. Not like Saul, who needed honor from people. Yeah, she knew from her father. David knew he is nothing. He's only a shepherd. He's nothing. We are nothing. But the Lord has anointed us. May we learn to serve him in a priestly way. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. There's so many more points. That's what we should take away. That the Lord needs such a priestly, kingly priesthood that will bring him to the goal. That we pursue him, that we have this relationship with him, that we learn to pray to him as our high priest. High priest, help me with my service. Help me in the sanctification. Lord, we want to be holy as you are holy. We want to follow you. The lamp keeps going on, and it's so precious to keep going on and to not stop, but to go the way to the end. That's where the holiness is the most important thing. We shall be holy unto the Lord. May the Lord bring us into all reality. It's something that finishes up the age. There were many before us that saw truths and pursued them. And the Lord gave this. And he showed how he wants to keep going on. Another thing, in the beginning, Martin Luther saw we have been saved through the blood, through believing, and he fought for this truth of faith, Martin Luther, why do you cause division? There's one church, and you start dividing that. Martin Luther followed the Lord and brought truth out, that through faith you are justified. That's an important point. And later some saints saw the baptism is so important. Some were killed from the Protestants because of that. And they saw this truth from the scripture. Yeah, and then It's even less people following the Lord. And in the beginning of the 17th century, they talked about holiness, that we should walk in holiness. It's not enough to just, but we have to personally grow. George Whitfield and John Wesley, yeah. These were, and 100 years later, in the 18th century, there was the brothers that saw there should be an eldership, it should be a church for the Lord. Many did not follow this way. And 100 years later, it's Watchman Nee saw how precious the church is. It's the house of the living God. And that's a truth. And many cannot go on with this. That's a truth from the Word. There's many, many different steps that the Lord showed. And then He showed us the worship. The house is there for the worship. There's the priesthood and the feasts and the offerings. It's a truth from the Scripture that we can rely on. And some people will want to stop this. The enemy is against it. But the Lord will gain it. All this shall move us to the goal, that He can get the kingly priesthood that will end up in the thousand-year kingdom and then in the heavenly Jerusalem. The Lord wants to have a holy priesthood, and our walk is so important, that we can walk in holiness and not die, because we are dealing with the holy things of God. May the Lord give us a lot of light about this.